Senator Eakin, Senate File 2575.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill is the constitutional amendment that would remove the state lawmakers' power to set their own pay and to instead create an all-citizens council that would be appointed by the governor and the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, the leaders of the other two branches of government. And we passed this last year, but we did not put a title on the constitutional amendment, and a constitutional amendment does require a title. And so that's why this bill is being presented, is to give it a title, and it also provides enabling legislation that would spell out how the council would operate and the initial appointing process and how it would get started. So that's what this bill deals with. I do have an amendment that makes some changes. Most of them are grammatical and simple changes. There's a couple of substantive changes, and that's the A7 amendment, and I could probably go through that at this time.
Senator Sieben moves the A7 amendment to get it in front of the committee. Senator Eakin.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, this most of the changes in this amendment are grammatical or language that's just makes it more accurate or more clear or just consistent with what the House has been doing, and we're working in conjunction with the House on this. So some of the changes include removing some of the people who were not allowed to serve on this committee. But one of the things we did with the bill is to tighten it up a little bit as to who could serve on the Citizens Council. The constitutional amendment we passed last year simply said legislators or former legislators and lobbyists or former lobbyists. This adds to that the spouses of current legislators. It also adds to it the spouses of or also adds to it employees of the legislature. As it passed through state government committee, we had even more that had been added, including going as far as former spouses of former lobbyists. And there were some who felt that maybe that was going a little bit too far, so we dialed it back a little bit. And so this amendment takes out some of those restrictions that some felt went a little bit too far. But it does still include the spouses of legislators. It still includes employees of the legislature. So it does tighten it up a little bit more from what we passed last year. Also, the amendment, it does move the deadline for the initial appointments. It moves that further out in order to accommodate the open appointment process. And this was as the result of a concern that was raised by the Secretary of State's office, just to give more time to get the names necessary to make these appointments. It also adds a staggering of terms after redistricting. The bill, as it was originally introduced and as it passed out of state government committee, does stagger the terms. We felt it was important that the Citizens Council have staggered terms so that at least half of the members will have had experience, and so you're not relearning the process every time. We had to deal with that in this amendment because it kind of restarts after every redistricting, because after redistricting, they have to appoint a new Citizens Council, so we have to restagger those terms again, and that's what the amendment does here. Lines 1.25 and 1.26 repeals any salary increase authorized in law after January 5, 2015. This is really more technical because if a pay increase is passed next year or the year after, and then this constitutional amendment passes, the pay increase that was passed would go into effect in January, but then the new Citizens Council would be establishing a different pay in July 1st. So it would only be in effect for 6 months. So what this amendment says is that if the constitutional amendment passes, the pay increase would be repealed because it would only apply for a six-month period. So,
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Eakin, not looking at this too closely, then what if the constitutional amendment fails? Oh, I understand. Never mind. If the constitutional amendment fails, then this enacting language would also not have be valid.
That is correct, yes.
Got it.
So, and thank you. And Mr. Chair, the final change in this amendment just modifies the proposed new title. The new title that we passed out of State Government Finance Committee was to stop lawmakers from setting their own pay. This amendment changes it to remove lawmakers' power to set their own pay. And again, that was kind of lined it up with what they were passing over in the House. So a lot of this was, you know, a lot of changes here are really non-substantive changes. But those were the more substantive pieces that I pointed out here. There is some change to the ballot question language as well. And if you look at the ballot question language at the end, again, not substantive changes, but it would simply, one of the things that we added was to add state legislators to the title because some thought it needed a little more clarification. That was actually a Republican amendment that was brought forward that we adopted in the state government committee. But this amendment further changes legislators to lawmakers and changes ability to power. And you can see in line 4.5 changes for to of, and then again changes legislators to lawmakers. And I guess choosing lawmakers partly because it's just a little shorter and also because that's terminology that is used quite often by the newspapers and the press and the media. So, and this is the ballot question that will appear before the public. And questions? I'll stand for any questions you have.
Any questions on the A7 amendment? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. A7 is adopted. On Senate File 2575 as amended. Senator Sieben moves passage. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a thought, Senator Eakin, on the title, stop lawmakers from setting their own pay. I really don't have any problem at all with your proposal. When it comes to a title for a constitutional amendment, to me, it shouldn't indicate to the voters which way they should vote. And this is where it says stop lawmakers. It seems to indicate to me that lawmakers are maybe doing something wrong, and therefore folks should vote in favor of the amendment. And I would just maybe give it a little bit more thought if you could come up with a title that is a little bit more neutral.
Sure.
Senator Newman, on line 1.29 of the A7 amendment, stop lawmakers were deleted and remove lawmakers' power was inserted.
Oh, I missed that.
Mr. Chair, so, and that was one of the reasons we just felt that that was better language to use. So it says, yeah, remove lawmakers' power to set their own pay.
Yeah, my apologies. I missed that.
Yeah, that's unusual for you. Stop lawmakers.
Any other questions, members?
To be wrong or to apologize?
To apologize.
On the Sieben motion that Senate File 2575 as amended to be recommended to pass. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members.
Senator Metzen here?
Yep.
Members, we had a Rule 21 on Senate File 2027. And The bill was sent from Senator Metzen's Committee on Commerce directly to the floor, and a fiscal note was requested. And as it turns out, there's, I don't know, maybe Senator Cohen, I didn't quite understand it because it didn't look like there was a fiscal impact to it. But in looking over the fiscal note with Senator Cohen, there's some shifting. There's some new FTEs that are needed for this. There's some shifting of people's duties so that federal funds can be used to pay for the FTEs. So I guess the Senator Cohen's call, whether that kind of creative type of fiscal note triggers it coming to his committee or not.
Right. Well, Mr. Chairman, certainly anything that deals with some kind of finance issue has always come to the Finance Committee.
Chairman, we didn't quite frankly catch that in our committee, and there was no fiscal note at the time, but I understand there is one now. So I would agree with
So Senator Metzen moves the committee report from Commerce on Senate File 2027 be amended to re-refer the bill to finance.
That will be my motion.
Any discussion? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Campaign Finance Board. We have a committee report from Subcommittee on Elections. Senator Sieben moves adoption of the committee report.
She know what we did.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. The three appointments to the Campaign Finance Board are now in front of the committee. I think we'll wait for... We're going to take two of them up. One of them has withdrawn. So we will take former Senator Edward Oliver and Christian Sandy up for consideration to bring to the floor. Maybe, I don't know if Senator Oliver is here or not, but I see Christian Sandy's here, so maybe he can come up and introduce himself to the committee. And
Mr. Chair, I know Mr. Oliver is en route. I just wanted to report that to you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sandy, welcome to the Committee on Rules. We're pleased that you are willing to serve in this capacity, one of those kind of thankless positions, I think, sometimes those of us members of the legislature feel. But why don't you give the committee a little background on what your experience in life has been?
Sure, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Christian Sandy, and it is an honor to appear in front of this committee. It truly is. My background is I grew up in Minnesota, in New Brighton. I went to Hamline University for my undergraduate, and I went to William Mitchell Law School. I've been an attorney in private practice since 1996. I'm admitted to both the Minnesota and the Washington State Bar Associations, and my firm has offices in Minneapolis and Seattle. Currently, I practice in securities fraud and class action cases. Historically, back from about 1996 until 2005, I was a campaign finance attorney and an election lawyer. I served as treasurer for political committees, political funds, candidate campaign committees. And so I've actually signed the forms that that you folks have to sign. I've advised people on complying with the laws, and I've also used the finance software that that you folks use for compliance as well. Since 2005 and 2005 and 2006, I ran for Secretary of State, so I've been a candidate for office in Minnesota, again, understanding the rules and the laws that you all must comply with. And since 2006, I've had my own firm, and I really have not done as much election law since then. And I've made a commitment to the governor, and I will make one to you as well, that if I'm confirmed for this position, I will not handle any election or campaign finance matters that could come before the board. So when I saw this opportunity open because of my predecessor Andy Lugar's nomination to be United States Attorney, I applied because of my there isn't any conflicts with my current practice, and I thought it would be a very interesting job given my my background. And I thought it's an opportunity to really focus on the activities of the board as someone who has practiced before the board, been regulated by the board, and worked with board staff extensively. And so that was why I applied. And I'm happy to answer any questions any members have.
Questions? Anybody? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Sandy did appear in the subcommittee on rules, and we did ask him a few questions, and he has passed out of the subcommittee on rules, and I'd be more than happy to move his confirmation.
Senator Newman moves that the rules committee recommend the appointment of Christian Sandy to the floor of the full Senate. The appointment be confirmed, counsel tells me. Any discussion? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
A contrary, no. Thank you. Motion prevails.
Thank you.
My guess is we could probably take up Mr. Oliver without him here. Most of us probably know him. He's a current member on the campaign finance board. Does anybody feel we need to wait for him to get here, Senator Limmer?
Well, I don't think we need to wait unless he's just out in the parking lot somewhere, but if I could speak on his behalf.
Sure.
Senator Oliver and I, as well as others at this table, served with him while he was a state senator. He comes from the western side of Lake Minnetonka. He is rather distinguished. He owns his own, or had owned, I think he's still actively selling insurance currently. He lives in Deep Haven. He's been an arbitrator for many years, and certainly one would not want to ignore his service to the state of Minnesota by being a state senator for many years. I, unlike some of the newer members here, I served with him. I think Senator Cohen did as well. Senator Fischbach, and perhaps you, Mr. Chair. And I believe that his distinguished record, both in the private sector as well as in the public sector, as well as an arbitrator, makes him an excellent candidate for service on the board. And without him being here, I'll move his recommendation to be appointed to the board.
Senator Limmer moves the Rules Committee recommended the appointment of Ed Oliver to the Campaign Finance Board. Any other discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Is that all we have? I think members... Oh, we got... is Ms. Zoff here?
Mr. Chair, maybe we could have someone call Mr. Oliver's cell phone.
Maybe Mr. Goldsmith can...
If he can turn around on a freeway.
Remember, some time ago we had a conversation about updating the comp time policy that the state Senate has for our employees, and Secretary Zoff has been working on that through the MAC. So I'm going to have her present to us what they have in front of us today. Ms. Zoff?
Mr. Chair, members, you have before you, it was in your packets, a page labeled Minnesota Senate Policies Employment. And under the provision that's 2.40, that's our comp time policy that's been in effect in the Senate for quite some time. And this proposal incorporates a number of changes to that policy. The main change is that the accrual rate would change. Currently, employees are eligible for 1 hour of comp time for every 1.5 hours of work that they perform in excess of 84 hours in a pay period. And typically, this applies only during the legislative session. In some unusual circumstances, employees who have an extraordinary work situation during the interim with the approval of their supervisor can obtain comp time, but typically the employees accrue this during the session. Under the current policy, the maximum is 180 hours. This provision before you would change this policy in three main ways. One is that the accrual rate would go to hour for hour once the employees have hit a threshold of 85 hours in a pay period. During the session, as you know, employees are expected to be here 8.5 hours a day. So the 85 hours would reflect that expected daily attendance so that the accrual would begin when the employee hit 85 instead of 84, but then it would be hour for hour instead of an hour for every hour and a half, and the maximum is increased from 180 to 200. And there's a final change in this that will be significant, and that is that we're going to require that the timesheets are approved by the supervisors before the employee would be eligible to take that to take advantage of that comp time, to encourage the supervisors to stay current with their timesheet approvals. And we've been working with Tom Klein in the SIS department, who's been doing some programming of the timesheets to make sure that we can accommodate this. he has mentioned to me that we're not going to be able to reflect, assuming that you do act on a change, that the timesheets won't reflect that change until immediately after the session and after all of the timesheets that include the last week when people could accrue comp time when they've been submitted and approved. And at that point, the new calculations will be able to be made.
Senator Martin.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Off, will it be retroactive, though, even if it doesn't show up now? Or I'm just curious, when is this take effect, even if it doesn't show up on the timesheets now?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Marty, I think the intention in speaking with Senator Bach that it would be retroactive for this session. And I would point out that even though this does increase the accrual, there's the possibility that employees in very limited circumstances, say if you had 85 or 86 hours in your timesheet, you would lose a very small amount, half an hour or an hour. But if once you've hit an amount of 87 hours in a pay period, you would benefit from this change.
Senator Steven.
Thank you. Secretary Zoff, if a employee retires at the end of a legislative session, I know it says that comp time has no cash value, but if they retire at the end of a session, does their comp time pay out in any way?
Mr. Chair, Senator Sieben, no. If an employee were to leave for any reason at any time when they still had unused comp time, you don't receive a payment for that. You do receive a payment for some of your health care and sick leave and for your vacation, but comp time is not paid out when someone leaves.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Off, I think related to that, though, I assume while it has no cash value, if somebody says, well, I'm leaving in 5 weeks and going to use my comp time in the next 5 weeks, in effect, they'd accomplish the same thing.
Mr. Chair, Senator Marty, that's correct.
Mr. Chair, I do think this is a good policy change. I know there are lots of people who are putting in long, long hours during the year, and some of them don't even use all their comp time, but I think it's fair to the employees.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Steven.
One last question, Secretary Zoff. The change where they have to be approved by the manager before the time is used, how does that process work for employees?
Mr. Chair, Senator Steven, that would be similar to the requirement that's actually in place for vacation leave, for example. We would assume that employees would consult with their supervisors before they would take vacation time or comp time, just as a courtesy and to make sure that the offices are covered.
Any additional questions, members? Senator Hand? Okay.
No questions.
Senator Sieben moves the changes in Senate Rule 2.40 on compensatory time. Senate Policy 2.40 on compensatory time, that the changes in front of the Rules Committee submitted by Ms. Zoff and the MAC be passed, adopted, retroactive to the 2014 session.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lamar.
One question. Currently, we hire employees on a salary basis, and this would be a little different. The salary does not change, but the accounting for hours is a little different. Do we account for hours now in order in representing the salaries? Is that an accounted for, like a time clock type basis or something equivalent to that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, yes. Under the current practices, each employee is required to fill out a timesheet, and that notes the number of hours that the employee is working, and if it's during a period of time when they're taking any vacation leave, sick leave, comp time, each of those categories shows up on the timesheet, and so they have to be filled in to a total of at least 80 hours for a timesheet unless you're taking a salary savings leave, but then the supervisor in reviewing those timesheets can see which of each of those categories is being used by the employee.
And so this is, Mr. Chair, Ms. Zoff, any excess hours would be, is it like an honor basis where we request the employee to account for the extra time they would be spending at a work-related experience here?
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, yes, the concept of the timesheet and what's required in the policy, for example, here the final paragraph under the policy provision says hours of work must be reported by the employee. So our understanding and our expectation is that each employee throughout the year reports accurately the number of hours that they're working.
And then, Mr. Chair, would that representation by the employee be certified or validated by the supervisor?
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, that's correct. When the supervisor, each supervisor has essentially a computer program that shows them the timesheets of their employees or the employees who report to them. And each supervisor is expected at the end of a pay period to review that timesheet and to sign off on that. And that'll be, I think, the change in this policy that says that the employees can't access their comp time. You know, that will certainly encourage the supervisors to be very diligent about signing those timesheets.
Any additional questions? On the Sieben motion to adopt the changes to 2.40. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Members, that concludes our work for today. This committee is adjourned.
No, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah,
it's good.
Well, I really appreciate it.